Bruchim Habayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Vo'era. The Shira say, Lezeche Nishmas Ule'ile Nishmas. Rebecca Basarina and Leon Ben Rachel, may their Neshama Tairis have a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. Marev Rabbeisai, those joining in the Heichel. I mentioned last week, it was nice to see so many Anashim Chashuvim, Anashim Tzidkaniyais, men and women joining us in the Heichel. It's a great source of chizuk. It's wonderful that you're here. And all those who are listening live, as the shir is being said, and the many who will be, Ezras Hashem, listening to the recording once it's sent out, the point, as we try to say each and every week, is not only to learn and to know the parsha better, but to be mechazek our Shabbos Kodesh. To remember, I ask you, on Shabbos, share the Divrei Torah, say it over at the table, share it with people so that it could bring added Kedusha to our Shabbos. In the beginning of Parshas Va'era, when it speaks about the Makkah of Kinim, the Pasuk tells us, look inside, Ches Yud Beis. If you're looking inside, or if you're going to be listening and looking inside at home, Ches Yud Beis, when we're talking about Makas Kinim, the plague of lice, there's a very famous Rashi. The Pasuk tells us in Yud Beis, Vayayim Hashem al Moshe, Emor el Aharon. Aharon was told to take his stick and to hit the dust of the land. And of course, when that happened, it turned into Kinim, it turned into lice, as the next Pasuk tells us. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't carry out this particular Makkah? Of course, I imagine we're pretty familiar that Rashi famously tells us because the dust helped him. I quote from Rashi, you must hear Rashi inside. Emar el Aharon, the Rebbeinu Shalom tells Moshe, you don't carry out this Makkah. But you say to Aaron that he should carry it out. It wasn't initiated by Moshe Rabbeinu, says Rashi, and I quote in Ches Yud Beis, Loi hoya ha'ofer kedai lilkos ayadei Moshe. The offer, the soil and dust, could not be hit by Moshe Rabbeinu. Lefisha hagin alav. It protected him. The dust protected Moshe Rabbeinu, Kishaharagas HaMitzri, when earlier we learned in the beginning of Parsha Shemais, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, I mentioned the Pasuk, you can look it up yourself. If you quickly turn back to Beis Yud Beis, the Pasuk tells us that he saw a Mitzri who was hitting a Jew, and he looked in all directions. Vayachas haMitzri, he himself, Moshe Rabbeinu, hit the Mitzri. He killed him. Vayitmeneu b'chol, and he hid him in the sand. So that means that the sand was good to him. It protected him. Rashi concludes and says, therefore, lucha al yidei Aaron. It was to be carried out by Aaron. Aaron is the one that should hit the dust and the sand and the soil and the dirt, not you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Because it protected you. It was good to you. You were able to hide the Mitzri in the sand, and that's what we call the Midah of Hakaras HaTov. Thank you, Bini. That's the Midah of Hakaras HaTov. I didn't say anything that was a Chiddush. That's exactly the way we've always learned Rashi. Because of Hakaras HaTov, recognizing the good, appreciating what was done to you, the sand protected you. You were able to hide the Mitzri in the sand, and therefore, you are not the one now to hit. Even though you'll say it wasn't a hitting that was a negative type of hitting in the sense, this was positive for Bnei Yisrael. Hit the sand, it turned into Kinim, it turned into lice. That was one of the makas to help Bnei Yisrael eventually have the exodus from Egypt, Yetzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't make a difference. It's hitting the sand, and it protected you. It was there for you, and that means Hakaras HaTov dictates you don't hit it. And that's what Rashi says, and we've heard it many times. Merav Rabbi Yisai, it's not often that the first thing that we'll say in the shir is, excuse the sports expression, but I know we were mentioning it before this year, I apologize, but you would refer to it as mamish, an epic grand slam, literally of epic proportions. This morning I had the privilege to see a very quick Dvar Torah pshat from the Mashgiach Reb Matisyahu, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. I was so moved and taken by this pshat. Literally of epic proportions. I quote to you, the Mashgiach Reb Matisyahu says, let's analyze this Rashi for a moment that speaks about the fact that it had to be Aaron and not Moshe because of Hakaras HaTov. Do you realize, Ma'arever Abaisai, he hid the Mitzri in the sand. And you know how long that hiding place lasted for? Or should I say, you know how long the secret remained a secret? How long did it remain a secret for? What is the next question? How long? Well, till the next day. Till the next day. L'machrosai, the next day, there was a piercing. And it became known through Dasan and Aviram, what Moshe Rabbeinu did. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu said the famous words, Achein Noida Hadavar, now the matter is known. So let's get this straight, says Ramatisho. The Ofar helped protect Moshe Rabbeinu for all of... No, it wasn't 30 years. Nope, wasn't even 30 months. Wasn't even 30 days. One day. And might I add that the Mashgiach continues... This story happened, if you make a calculation based on the years in Egypt, this story of hitting the Mitzri and burying him that one day happened 60 years, 6-0, 60 years before Makas Kinim. Says Reb Matisyahu, that's exactly the point. For us, it's a limud gogel, as I said earlier, yes, a lesson of epic proportions. Ad heichan chayvas hakaras hatayv. I was so shaken by this pshat. Ad heichan chayvas hakaras hatayv means just how far, both in quantity and quality, the obligation of hakaras hatayv lasts. Unfortunately, sometimes we're the type of people, oh yes, when the person wasn't feeling well, true, you called me 13 times. But the 14th time you didn't call me, that's the one I remember, and the friendship is off. And even if it's not off, you're not getting the two best levels of Mishloach Manos. I'm putting you to the C list. You didn't call me the 14th time. This story happened 60 years ago. More than a half of a lifetime of a person. The goodness lasted for one day. It doesn't make a difference. Hakaras HaTov dictates. It could have happened 60 years ago. It could have happened 100 years ago. And it could have only lasted for one day. It doesn't make a difference. This will be hit by Aaron, not by Moshe, because of the Hakaras HaTov Moshe's to have to the sand for the goodness that it did. No? Did I exaggerate at all when I said about how powerful of a pshat this is? I apologize to all of the listeners that I'm saying the next story. I know that I have said it countless times. I know I have. I have. I'm aware of that. I probably even said it quite recently. But what could I say? It's a story that in my family made a deep impression on us. You probably already are smiling. You know which one. And it just ties in so beautifully. In fact, I could almost justify that I'm saying it again because although I've said it countless times, I've never had such a good tie-in. So for a new tie-in, you're allowed to say it. When my father, Harav Mordechai Shapiro Zatzal, went to Eretz Yisrael 70 years ago, literally 51 to 53, 1951 to 53, Tashin Yud Alf Yud Beis Yud Gimel, my Bobby, Rebbetzin Bluma Shapiro, Alea Shalom, she wanted to show Hakaras HaTov to the family that would provide my father with food and a daily meal. So she made sure every Rosh Chodesh to send a check to the family, Hakaras HaTov, and to show her proper appreciation for what they did for her son, my father, Zatzal, providing him food. My father left Eretz Yisrael after a bit more than a year and a half, years 80. And my Bubby continued to send a check to the family to express her Hakaras HaTov and to continuously thank the family. She sent it every single Rosh Chodesh. She didn't stop. And Mayra V'Rabbeisai, as astonishing and as unbelievable as it sounds, she continued sending that check every single Rosh Chodesh for the next 50 years. Almost like Makas Kinim, 60 years later. That's why I juxtapose the two. For the next 50, the only reason the check stopped was because my Bubby passed away. Till she passed away, and by the way, the family itself, they were no longer alive. She had to now send it, as I understand, to the children and even the grandchildren who subsequently were living in South Africa, but she found that where in South Africa the grandchildren were learning. Hakaras HaTov dictates that I continuously send the check. Thank you for what you did for my son every Rosh Chodesh for another 50 years. That's the Mashkiach's pshat. We live in a society, I've told you the sign many times in the barbershop, when I do something right, no one remembers. When I do something wrong, no one forgets. That is a despicable way to live. That is the e-hakaras hatayv. I marvel, I'm in awe of people whose level of hakaras hatayv, forgive me for coining a new expression, is kinim-esque in nature. And by that I mean it could be 60 years later, but you help somebody for the day, you still express hakaras hatayv. Like the story exactly that I told you with my Bubby. I'm in awe of people whose Hakaras HaTov is kinim-esque in nature. It goes something like this. I could ask a person, you had such a long day, you're not feeling so well, yet you're muchening and working so hard to attend the chuppah. Why? What do you mean, why? Because 30 years ago when I needed a favor, they did such and such for me. You know, they gave me a ride from A to B, or they helped me with a phone call, or I asked for tzedakah for an organization and they gave it. So isn't it obvious that 30 years later I'm going to go to their child's chuppah? And sometimes, unfortunately, we're the opposite. If you weren't good to me today and you didn't make the phone call today, people go through things. They can't always remember every single phone call. Hakaras HaTov means that you think deeper. Hakaras HaTov means that you think bigger. I want to tell you something. There's a Gemara in Megillah. Now, true the Pshat I'm about to tell you, it's on the Yud Ches Amud Aleph. It's Drush, it's homiletics. It's not Pshat. But I want to say it because I think it ties in well, and I thought of this Chiddush a few weeks ago. So yes, it's Drush, but I think it's a beautiful pshat nonetheless. The Gemara in Yud Ches Amud Aleph and Megillah is speaking about the order of Shmoneh Esrei. It's a fabulous Gemara, an extraordinary Gemara. Why everything is in order in Shmoneh Esrei, why Atachainen follows Atachadosh, why that has to be followed by Hashiveinu, why in natural order of progression, next is Slachlanu, followed by Revenyenu, followed by Rufa'enu, Barechalenu. It's a Gemara that goes through in beautiful explanation, exquisite, the logic behind why every bracha must follow one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And then the Gemara is discussing by Ritzei. Ritzei is, of course, called Avoida, because Ritzei is a reference to the Avoida, the service in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara is discussing why Ritzei and Haida'a, Haida'a is, of course, a reference to Maidim, why they are juxtaposed in the sequence of brachos. The Gemara over there is discussing why is Ritzei, which is Avoida, immediately preceding Maidim, which is Haida'a. The Gemara uses an expression, Mistavra, makes a lot of logical sense. Avoida the Haida'a Chada Milsahi for Avoida, service in the Beis HaMikdash. And Haida'a, Thanksgiving, Chada Milsahi are one, and since they're one, it makes natural sense that they should be juxtaposed one with the other. You understood what I said. Haida'a Avoida, the Haida'a Chada Milsahi. That Avoida and Haida'a are one. I was thinking homiletically, maybe you could explain these words differently, totally on a different topic, but the topic we're discussing tonight, about the importance of saying thank you, the importance of Hakaras HaTov, the importance of recognizing the good. Meira v'rabbeisai, it's not something you learn necessarily overnight. It's a life's mission. It's a life's challenge. It's something that we must continuously work at, continuously strive for, continuously grow, and become better and better and better in the meat of Hakaras HaTov. Maybe when the Gemara says the two words, Avoida v'haida'a, maybe it could be read, Avoida v'haida'a means that Avoida, one must constantly work at Haida'a, perfecting the art of Haida'a, saying thank you, and having the meat of Hakaras HaTov. In other words, Haida'a is in Avoida. Haida'a is in Avoida. You can't say just because I had it last week, okay, now I could rest from it. Haida'a, saying thank you to people, of course, to our Creator, to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's an Avoida. What does the word Avoida mean? Something we have to work at, something we have to perfect, something we have to get better at, better this month than last, and next month than this. Maybe I'll be drush homiletically. That's the way we could explain Avoida Haida'a. We must make an Avoida, a mission, and work at Haida'a. Properly saying thank you and recognizing the good, acknowledging it, Hakaras HaTov, as the Mashkiach says. Rashi says the Lashon, that it protected him, Shehagin Allah, that protected him. Did you ever stop to think it protected him for one day? And that happened 60 years ago. It doesn't make a difference. We mentioned multiple times a pshat from the Dazekeinu Mibalei HaTosfos, such a beautiful pshat. A dear friend of mine, Albert Kahn, he shared this pshat with Moran Rashke Bahag when Reb Chaim Kanievsky was alive. Albert Kahn is a Kohen. And Reb Chaim, whose every word was so precise and calculated, every word was volumes by Reb Chaim. He looked up at my friend Albert Kahn, who I told you a moment ago was a Kohen, and he said to him, hearing the pshat I'm about to tell you, Yofa Omar HaKohen. Could you imagine Reb Chaim saying that to someone? Yofa Omar HaKohen. Du sagst gut. The Kohen said good. That's the highest praise. The Kohen said good. What was the book he had shared with Reb Chaim? If you take a look, we know that if you have Basar Treifa, if your sheep was ripped and therefore it's a Treifa, didn't have proper Shechita, La Kelev Tashlichon Eisei. Give it to the dog. The dog is getting better than a cowboy steak, a Delmonico. The dog is mamish getting a sheep that was ripped up, and therefore it's a tray for the pasuk says, La kelev tashlichen oisei. Why do you give it to the dog? Explains the Dazekeinu Mibalei HaTosfos, because generally you have wolves that will consume and eat your sheep, your flock. Goyim is listening, yes? So you have, and you got yourself dogs to protect your sheep from the ze'evim, from the wolves. So you're giving the sheep, which you can't eat, it's a treifa, you're giving it to the dogs as a way of hakaras hatoiv, of saying thank you and acknowledging the good. Hakaras hatoiv, recognize and appreciate and acknowledge the good, because the dogs were hired, so to speak, by you to protect your sheep from the wolves. And therefore, it's a way to reward the dogs. What would be the most obvious question that I just said? You want to ask it? Ask it, Yingle. What would be the most obvious question? Well, you're giving the answer. I want the question. You've heard this from me before, haven't you?
What do you mean that you're giving it to the wolves, to the dog, because you want to thank them for protecting the sheep from the wolves? The reason that this sheep was ripped up and became a trefa was because the dog didn't do its job. Had the dog, the kelev, done its job, this sheep would still be alive. But the sheep was ripped up and killed by the wolves precisely because the kelev didn't do its job. So why in the world are you rewarding it for not doing its job? No? I ask you, a lawyer, that's not a great kasha.
The Dazakeinu Mibalei Taisa says, you're right, this time it blew it didn't do its job. But did you thank it for all the times until now that it did do its job? Are you going to thank it for all the times from here on that it will continue to faithfully do its job? You're not giving it the reward of the bus or of the sheep because of this time. You're right, this time it made a mistake, it messed up, and it allowed the wolves to kill the sheep.
The reason you're awarding it now is because Hakaras HaTzeis says, you look at all the times that it did its job properly and you probably didn't recognize it adequately. You reward it now because of all the times, and in the future it will, and you may not remember to reward it. Yes, you precisely give it to the kelev, the time that it messed up, as a way of showing you still acknowledge all the good that it did do in the past and will in all likelihood do in the future.
That's the Mashgiach's Vort. This is Heichan Chayvas Hakaras HaTayim, the profundity, both in quantity of quality, of how deep Hakaras HaTayim goes. Take nothing else out from tonight's shiur. It's to have a greater appreciation for what people do for us and express it. And that, of course, should lead us to having Hakaras HaTayv and appreciating all of the goodness that the Bnei Yoyalim bestows upon us. I want to take this one step deeper. If you take a look, now I tell you to take a look to Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yotes. You're going back a Perek, Rabbi Yisai. Wasn't there another Makkah that was not done by Moshe but had to be carried out through Aaron? Which one was that? Which two? Dam and Tzardeya. Why? Because that was the water. And Moshe should not be the one to hit the water. The water is saved Moshe Rabbeinu. Mamish, the same Rashi that I just told you with Kenim, why he was not to hit the Ofer is why he was not to hit the water. Go back to Rashi. Zayin Yotes, Rashi tells us on Yotes. Emor al Aharon, once again, Moshe was told by Hashem, tell Aaron to take the stick and hit the waters of Mitzrayim, the rivers of Mitzrayim. Why? That's where Dam came from. That's where Tzardeya started. Zok Rashi, the exact same lesson. Lefish Hagin Hayor al Moshe. The river protected Moshe. When he was thrown into the river, when he was cast into the river in the basket as a baby, Lefikach loyloka al yaday. You should not be the one to hit it. Mamish, the same lesson of Kenim, Rashi says a perek earlier, almost word for word verbatim. And that's why neither by Makas Dam or Makas Tzardeya was it hit by Moshe, veloka al yaday Aaron. Instead, it was done by Aaron. The Gemara in Baba Kama, Tzadi Beis, Omid Beis, on this Rashi explains, that's why in the Maral speaks about it, a person should, we're not speaking over here about a person. We're speaking over here about a body of water. The Gemara teaches us, don't harm anything that was beneficial to you. The Gemara quotes the famous expression, if there was a cistern, a well from which you drank, don't throw stones into it. You show appreciation to something that benefited you. I realize that the next story that I'm about to share with you could be a difficult one to listen to, but it made a deep impression on me. I heard it on one of the trips that I was in South Africa. Someone approached me about a miser with one of his relatives. The relative was an elderly person, and he was upstairs, and this is what this person told me about his elderly relative. And he was trying to maybe take a nap or whatever it was. He heard a lot of running downstairs. It sounded like running and banging and a broom knocking. They called up grandchildren. He says, what's all the noise? So they said that they found a rat. And they were, I guess, not just chasing the rat. I guess chasing would be one thing, but I guess they were trying to harm the rat or kill the rat or, I don't know, maybe they were playing a game with it. That detail I didn't get. The grandfather called up his grandchildren, and I'll tell you the story exactly as I heard it, even though it's a bit hard to listen to. And he told his grandchildren, listen here, in my family, you don't cause any harm to a rat. Decades ago, I was in the concentration camps. And what pajamas we were given, it was bare thin, there wasn't anything to them. At night, a person could chalila freeze to death. One of the only ways we kept warm at night, all of our bodies, we would lie on a large, large flat sheet, a platform of wood, a long, long bunk bed, if you will. And the bodies were so close to the other, one the other, that the flesh and being pressed on one side and the other, that's the way a person kept warm and didn't freeze to death during the night. He tells his grandchildren, I slept on the very end of this long row. I was the last one. So I only had a body to warm me on one side. On the other side, I was exposed to the frigid air. And very often at night, the rats that were there would come up and they would press against me on the other side and they kept me warm. On the other side that would have otherwise been exposed. And as a result of the rats keeping me warm on the side that would have been with the frigid air, I was able to survive. He turns to his Einik Lach and says, in this family, we don't do anything to rats. Mayraver Abaisai, that's this Rashi. That's this Gemara. Something benefited you. You make sure to show Akara Satev. In fact, in Sefer Birchas Eliyahu, he says it even a bit deeper. He says, take a look at this Rashi. Usually when we speak about the Midah of Hakaras HaTov, we're talking about showing appreciation to someone or to a person or to many people. Over here, you're showing appreciation to water? To Afar? So one answer we just explained was based on the Gemara and the story I told you about the rats, that anything that was beneficial to you and that benefited you, you must show Hakaras HaTov to. But here in the Sefer, he adds a dimension. He says, good, Zolzayin, that the item you're talking about is a daimim, in an inanimate object. I don't know, a piece of bread, a rock, a tree stump, whatever it is that benefited you. He says clearly, the reason that there's an obligation to show Hakaras HaTov and recognize and appreciate the good
afilu b'doinim, even to an object that's entirely an inanimate object. The tree stump or the river or the ground, it will never know the difference. The teretz is that you're doing it for yourself because it breathes within you and creates within you. His lashon is hareze moilad ba'atzmai midas hakaras atoiv. The reason that you have to go ahead and show hakaras atoiv even to an inanimate object is so that it continues to train you and to ingrain within you and to, yes, entrench within your DNA, Akaras HaToyv, Akaras HaToyv, Akaras HaToyv. He goes so far as to say, no, so a person's going to go ahead and hit an inanimate object. You're going to hit the dust. You're going to hit the tree stump. The tree stump feels the pain. Was it going to yell, ouch, you hurt me? Granted, we have the pshat in the Gemara that it's not a proper thing to do because it benefited you, but his lashon is, for you to go ahead and to cause harm or to hit something, albeit it's a diamond, an inanimate object, that's going to start creating within you the mida of e-hakaras atayv. In other words, it's going to start desensitizing you to the importance of hakaras atayv. Stay away from anything that will desensitize you to hakaras atayv. It's an added darga, it's an added knach. It's not only that you're going ahead and showing the midah because it benefited you and you don't throw rocks into a cistern that gave you water. What's it going to hurt the water? I kick the tree stump. The tree stump has feelings? You're right. None of that is true. But the issue becomes that it will start to create within you the antithesis of a karsa type. It will start, as we said a moment ago, desensitizing you to the beauty of a karsa type. And a yid could never do anything that could chalila desensitize him to recognizing and acknowledging and appreciating the good. And that's the whole story, Rabbi Isai. I hope Ezus Hashem from tonight's shir, I really hope that it helps us improve our Hakaras HaTayv. And by the way, our Hakaras HaTayv Bein Adam L'Chaveray should bring us to a deeper darg of Hakaras HaTayv Bein Adam L'Makom between us and our Creator. Do we even know how much there is to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for? Do we even know how much there is to thank Hashem for? We should be zoicha to continue striving in this exquisite need of hakaras hatoy, both in kamus and echos, to recognize the good, to appreciate the good. Remember, it doesn't happen overnight. Avoida haida'a avoida. Saying thank you and learning hakaras hatoy is a lifelong mission. It's an avoida. But we should be zoicha to do the avoida extremely well. We should be zeicha to excel. Yes, I end the way we started, in epic proportion in the midah of hakaras hatov, not only bein adam l'chaveira, but certainly bein adam l'makom. And may we taka be the recipients and the beneficiaries of kol tov, of only goodness, in the best of health. Thank you.